stuff out. That's coming out of denial that there's stuff there. That's finally admitting to ourselves that someone has hurt us, that we have gone through, and we've made some bad decisions ourselves, and we have hurt ourselves and have hurt others. We have to come out of denial to clean the rug up, to clean what's garbage is in our life so that Christ can heal us, heal all of those wounds, and they become a beautiful scar so that we can tell and share what God has done in our life. Maybe this morning you're dealing with a wound. It's never turned into a scar. You know how you can tell the difference? A wound still hurts. A wound still hurts. And there are people who have been wounded for 30 and 40 years, still holding on to something that has happened in their life, maybe even as a child, still holding on to that and won't let God heal it. Maybe today, through this message, you'll see that God wants to do a magnificent healing in your life so that all those wounds are now healed into scars and they tell a story about what God has done in your life. You have your Bibles today. Turn to John chapter 20, verse 19 through 29. Harry Cruz said this: there's something beautiful about all scars of whatever nature. A scar means that the hurt is over, the wound is closed and healed and done with. Are you dealing with something today that you've been dealing with for a long, long time, and you don't think other people see it? Matter of fact, you were told by someone to keep your mouth shut, keep it quiet, and you've done that. And boy, it's left you in a bind your whole life, and it still hurts. Maybe today you'll find freedom to allow God to work in your life. See, Jesus used his scars for a very particular purpose. That's amazing that Jesus has a resurrected body, but the thing that he kept was the scars from the nail prints. He kept the nail prints in the palms of his hands and his feet, and in the spear cut into his side, so that others can testify, and Jesus can testify of what he had gone through for our benefit. So we begin reading. John chapter 20. This is the evening of the resurrection. Last Sunday we celebrated Easter, the resurrection. This is that following evening. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Verse 24 says, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I would not believe.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.' Let's pray together. Father God, today, as we look at this message, I pray, Lord, that we begin to open ourselves up for the Holy Spirit to work a miracle in our life. God, in the sound of my voice, there are people who are still hurting. God, there are people who are still in doubt of themselves and doubt of others. Trust is still not built. God, there are still people who are struggling and struggling with so many painful wounds. And God, there are people whose wounds have healed and their scars, and those are beautiful, but they're silent and they're not talking about what you have done in their life. God, let it be a testimony for your glory. Teach us today, God, what you want. Lord, bring healing to our lives. Or bring courage to speak out about what you've done as a blessing to us so we can be a blessing for others. In Christ's name, amen. So let's follow this encounter of Jesus and his disciples to observe how we will allow Jesus to help us and to heal us through the testimony of our scars. The first lesson that we learn from the disciples is their obedience to Christ. Listen, healing will not come to us if we're not obedient to Christ. Obedience is mandatory on our part. Just like we mandate obedience to our children, they're not going to be perfect, but we want them to learn through growing and through our word and through our words of wisdom to learn how to be obedient so they can be well placed and good citizens in our society. So when we look at obedience to Christ, God looks at our obedience and he values that. And the only way that we're ever going to receive everything that God has in store for us in this life is that we're obedient to him. We cannot allow things to rise up in our life or to take control over us or get a stronghold in our life and defeat us. See, we see in verse 19, on the evening of the first day of the week when the disciples were together. See, the disciples met together on the evening of that resurrection. They met together to verify all the facts that were going on. They were beginning to remember all the promises that Jesus had made. He had resurrected that morning, and here they were, having to go through and just reminisce about all the promises and all the prophecies he talked about his resurrection. That you tear down this temple in 3 days, I'll build it back. He's using so many things to tell them about what's going to happen. So here are the disciples with other followers in the house talking about what's going on with the doors locked. Why? Because now the Jewish authorities were very, very fearful about what was taking place because Jesus was now missing. Don't you think they were coming to interrogate what those disciples had done or what they had seen or what was going on? So here the disciples were with the doors locked, fearful about what the Jews may do to them. Jesus shows up. Ah, I love it. Jesus shows up. Listen, when we meet in obedience, we're obedient to Christ. Jesus always shows up for us. Always. Now, does he always answer the prayer the way we want it to be answered? No. But he shows up. Because he always has a better plan than what we had. They remembered all the promises Jesus shared. Disciples reviewed how Jesus was alive, how he was dead and how he's alive again. You see, they were verifying the account and imprinting all of those things that he talked about, all of those truths into their testimonies. See, the disciples and other followers were obedient to meet together. And Jesus would meet with them. Matter of fact, Jesus wanted them together so he could give them a solid affirmation of the fact of his resurrection and also affirmation of their faith. Because not all the disciples had seen Jesus after the resurrection. Only a few, including a few of his followers, Mary and Mary, had actually seen Jesus. Jesus wanted them all together. Of course, that first meeting, old Thomas, I guess he had to go fishing or something, or so distraught he didn't want anything to do with them. He wasn't there. Followers of Jesus were fearful of these Jewish leaders tracking them down, so they locked the door. They locked it out of fear so they could honestly evaluate everything that Jesus said. You know what? A lot of times we have to lock ourselves out from others to evaluate what's going on in our own lives. Sometimes we have to say, look, Lord, I know these things are there. I have to deal with them. I can remember, Lord, I can deal with it. But, Father, I need you to intervene to help me gain the strength to evaluate and to look over. And then I can share with others. See, today in obedience, we should lock out the fear that we have about treading ground where our scars were created. We fear because we are intimidated of the pain from the wounds. We're intimidated by people may have caused them. Lock out the fear. Listen, you're always safe in the care of Christ. He has a greater purpose and a greater plan. Lock out the fear of the influences that disrupt your focus of faith. Why? Because Jesus wants to show you the miracle in you so he can become a blessing. You can become a blessing to others. Verse 19, the latter part says, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be to you. Listen, the only way that we can truly live in peace in this life, that peace that God wants to give us and truly comprehend what Jesus is doing for us and in us and through us is our obedience, is to lock out the worldly influences that cause us to blur our focus with Christ. See, in the presence of Christ, his peace overtakes our anxiety and our apprehensions that seem to disrupt us. We also see that our scars from this are living proof. Our scars are a living proof that something has happened. Just like in Jesus' day, when Jesus showed him the scars, it was proof that something happened in his life. Jesus reveals the scars as living proof of his tragic experiences. Verse 20 says, after he says this, he showed them his hands and his side. Jesus' scars were tangible. They were visible. Visible evidence of his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. Jesus chose to keep his scars as a reminder to every believer and non-believer alike of his great love for them. See, his scars tell the greatest love story ever known, the story of compassion from the Creator to the creation, that he would give his only Son to be made payment for all the sins of all the world that we ever committed. Jesus willingly laid down his life for us. He took the pain that we had from those sin and that consequences that was caused. He took on the life of a man, lived 33 and a half years as an example of holiness, and was betrayed by those who wanted to see him fall. Betrayed for crimes that he didn't commit. Tried by false witnesses. Beaten because of leaders' deceitful purposes, forced to march through Jerusalem, carrying a cross of shame, and then crucified like a criminal for things he didn't do, all because of us. He died on a cross, was buried, and resurrected again. His scars tell a story. Notice that they are not wounds, but scars. Scars tell a living story because scars are alive. You think about the scars that you have, your hand, your feet, wherever they may be, the physical scars. That's living tissue. It's very much alive. It's no longer dead from a wound or an injury. Whether scars are physical, emotional, psychological, or spiritual, scars are healed. If you still hurt from an injury, then it's not a scar. It's still a wound. Are you dealing with wounds this morning? Wounds that are very fresh. Wounds that still reek with pain. Maybe it's an emotional wound that something happened to you and you think back about it and you still get that twinge, still get that hurt is still alive. Maybe it's something that has just happened in life, accident, some kind of tragedy, something that happened, and you really have not gotten beyond. You have not healed from that yet. And you remember, you reminisce about it, and the pain's still there. Maybe it's decisions that you made in your own life. Those decisions have caused you or someone else hurt. And when you think about that, it's not that you can't believe that you did it, but it still hurts. It's still fresh. You see, even a small, I cut this finger this past week on a small piece of tin. Nothing major. Matter of fact, didn't even hardly know it was there. Until you touch something and it's like, oh. Sometimes the things in our life are so sharp and we kind of forget about them until they're touched by ourselves or someone else. Someone else kind of pushes our button in that area and we blow up. We're still wounded by it. We've never dealt with the wound so that we can heal, allow God to heal us, and it's still so fresh. And listen, it'll affect every area of our life, everything that we do. Listen, there's some good Christian folks sitting in church, but boy, you pushed their button the wrong way. You think the devil just came out. You know why? I've learned this. It's not that they're bad people. It's not that they're not a good Christian. Is they have swept things out of sight and they hold a facade, but they're really hurting. They're hurting people. They're really hurting. And they don't want to address that because it was so painful. Hurting people. And they hurt other people too. Scars are healed. Wounds are not. If you're wounded by something today, listen, a wound always needs immediate attention. It's not something that you can keep putting off and putting off and putting off. A wound needs immediate attention. It needs to be brought to God first. And listen, there are a lot of things that you can bring to God and boy, just in that agreement. But listen, hear me close in this. There are a lot of things that God can heal instantly. And there are a lot of things that He wants you to seek out the help and the assistance of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Never underestimate the value of a brother or sister in Christ walking with you through that journey to healing. Not everything is healed automatically. Some things take a process. It takes a process of you getting out of God's way and learning how to stay out of God's way to heal and bring healing. It is a process that we have to go through. Just like grieving is a process when we have loss in our life. Healing some of those old wounds takes time. And it takes people around us to help us walk that journey. See, wounds still contain the deadness of the injury. And that's painful, while scars are permanently healed and the pain is eased. Jesus' scars revealed a few things. Scars tell a story, revealed a few things. It revealed about His suffering. We see in John 19, verse 1 through 3, it says, "Then Pilate took Jesus and had Him flogged. The soldiers twisted a crown of thorns on His head and put it on His head. They clothed Him in purple robe and went up to Him again and again, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they struck Him in the face." Jesus' scars that he was showing His disciples and in His wound, in His ribs and there in His feet, told a story of His physical, emotional, and spiritual woundedness. You imagine the physical beating that He took and then the crucifixion of driving nails in His hands, but also the emotional, that Jesus was betrayed by his inner circle. Not only did Judas betray Him, which Jesus knew already, but Peter, and He knew Peter was going to betray Him also. But all the disciples ran away. That emotional battle that was going on, that woundedness, that he was kind of left alone. And then on the cross, He senses the separation because of the sin of all the world on top of him. He senses the separation with God. So we see this spiritual woundedness also, that Jesus and his Father are like this. You notice, and when the sin comes on, Jesus cries out. He says, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" So we see his wounds tell a story about his suffering. His wounds also tell about his demise. We see in verse 16 through 18 of John 19. It says, "So the soldiers took charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. They went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha, where they crucified him, and with him two others, and on each side of Jesus, and Jesus in the middle." See, this crucifixion and death, something died in Jesus that day. See, something died, and it was for our benefit. Not only did he as an individual die, but something died in him. Listen, when we face things, we die also when we're wounded. But also, Jesus' scars tell of his deliverance. See, Luke 24, verse 2, 5, and 6 says, "They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and in their fright, the women bowed down with faces to the ground. But the men," meaning angels, "said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen.'" You see, Jesus' scars also tell of a deliverance that he had. That God the Father and the power that he has of Almighty, the superior power, raised Jesus from the dead. It tells about his deliverance. So those scars tell what Jesus went through. Told about something dying, something changed in him. It also tells about the deliverance that he had over death. Jesus' scars tell the story of the climax of his life on earth. He was inflicted by emotional, physical, and spiritual wounds, and those wounds healed, and his scars tell the story of the trauma that he endured for our benefit, for our healing, for our salvation. Question comes, what about you? What do your scars reveal to you and about you to other people? Well, your scars reveal your suffering. The scars that you have in your life reveal suffering. Even if it's physical scars, and I can look at little blemishes here and there from a scar, and I remember it hurt. There was some suffering going on. See, John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." What caused your scars? What did you suffer? Was it a childhood tragedy? Was it a death? Maybe your parents' divorce? Maybe an illness or rejection? Parental abandonment? Sexual misconduct? Hurtful comments, guys used you, loss of a home or financial security? What is a child that may have wounded you that you allowed God to heal and now it's a scar to be used as a testimony for God? Or maybe as an adult, you struggle with anxiety from a bad marriage. Physical, emotional, psychological, sexual abuse, adultery, bitter divorce, loss of a job, loss of health. What suffering have you incurred? What has been stolen from you? Is it still a wound or is it a scar in your life? What damage has been caused? What part of you died when your tragedy occurred? Listen, I think back over my life and things, even from childhood, and I see there was a part of me that died. There was a part of me that was one way, and when this event happened, I was different on the other side. And you too. You see, those things that if I had not allowed God to heal them to be scars, they would still be wounded. And even now, at the age 50, I would think back and still be still cringe and still hurt, maybe even shed tears over things that happened when I was 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. A part of me died. what's died in you. Before the wound, you were one person. When the disruptive experience occurred, your life changed. Something in you died. You're no longer the same person. You're permanently changed. The death of an era of our lives, of an area in our lives, has brought change, but something new. Maybe this morning, as you think about what has died in you, you realize that you're still dying. You realize that the wound is not healed. You do not have scars of deliverance, but rather wounds that continue to affect your life today. Oh, it breaks my heart as a pastor meeting with people over the years. You can see the pain in their eyes. You can hear it in their voice. It's something that happened many, many, many years ago. It's so tragic that they've lived for years battling and hurting from something that God wants them to set free. He wants to set them free from. Your scars also talk about your deliverance. See, it comes through the power of Christ. John 10:10 says, "I have come so that you may have life and have it to the fullest." When Jesus revealed his scars, he proved to those present that all troubles and tragedies do not have power over in their life. Jesus overcome his wounds, and our wounds alike. You see, there's new life. There's a new beginning for you in Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come." Listen, Jesus not only wants to save your soul, he wants to come back and heal all those things that have ever occurred to you. But so many of us, we accept Christ. We think life is all wonderful. And listen, we're saved. We're born again. Our eternity is set. We're now a child of God. And all things are going right in God's way. But listen, a lot of times we carry a lot of baggage into our salvation. And God wants to set us free from that baggage. Oh, why don't preachers preach that? Why don't we hear enough of that? That there are a lot of saved, born-again people who are coming to church, but they're coming with a lot of baggage because they don't know how to be set free from their past. They don't know how to be set free from the decisions they've made. They don't know how to be set free and allow God to do a healing work in there so they can truly understand what it means, the joy of our salvation. Day, God wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. He wants to unpack those suitcases of baggage from those hurts, those wounds, those things that you are carrying. See, deliverance in Jesus makes you a new creation. Don't allow Satan to steal another moment of your life. Don't let him kill any more of your purpose in life. And don't let him destroy any more of the beauty that God has created in you. How can I be healed? Listen, take your pain, take your losses, all of those things, take them out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Truly lay them before God. Lay them out. God already knows what they are. He just wants you to admit, "Lord, this happened when I was 8 years old, and God, I still struggle with it. Lord, would you please take it from me and teach me how to live a new life without it?" God wants to heal you. Listen, there's some things that you may say, "God, here it is." And God says, "Listen, I've already forgiven you for that. But look, you know what? You need old sister so-and-so to come alongside of you to help you through this." You know, the hardest thing about doing that is we don't trust people. You know why we don't trust people? It's because we really don't trust ourselves. Because we realize how broken we are, and we realize other people being just as broken. But listen, God has good people who know how to keep confidence, who know how to keep things quiet, who will walk with you as you allow God to heal you. Listen, that person's not going to give you advice. That person is not going to sit here and tell you, "You know what, if I was you, this is what I would do." If they're doing that, that's not the person.
It's between you and God that does that healing.
Raphael Gibson said this, out of suffering have emerged the strongest souls, the most massive characters are seared with scars. Verse 20 says this, as the disciples were overjoyed when they saw it was the Lord. See, Jesus' scars brought confirmation to their faith and appreciation to their own scars. Verse 40. We see in the next lesson to learn is that we need to tell the story from the scars that we have in our own life. Jesus allowed his scars to be the lesson for others. He allowed them to be a lesson for his disciples, because he knew his disciples were going into a world and they were going to be persecuted. They had to have confirmation because they were going to suffer their own wounds in weeks and months and years to come. Verse 21 of John 20 says, again, Jesus said, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. As delivered believers, we're to testify of those powerful scars that mark Jesus' love in our own life. See, we should also tell the story of what Jesus has brought to us and brought us through. I don't know why God allows troubles to happen to us. A lot of people, when things happen and a tragedy happens in their life, one of the first things we want to ask is why, or why now? Why did it happen at this moment? Truth of the matter is, we don't know why. We can ask God all we want. He has big enough shoulders to listen to us when we ask, because he knows that we're suffering. He knows that we're going through something. God doesn't get mad if we ask why. His response will always be to us, trust me. Just take a step of faith and trust me, even when we don't feel like it. Sometimes we don't feel like trusting God, but God still says, trust me. I've learned this, and you know it too, that we can't see when something happens, a situation happens in our life, event, a tragedy, a bad choice. We have to deal with all the pain and all the emotions of it right there. And we can't see what's going to take place in 5 or 6 or 10 years, but God already knows what's going to happen. But he wants us to learn from what we've been through, allow him to heal us. It does become a scar in our life, because that scar means strength in our life. It means that we have been through it. We have experience now, so that we can bless other people's lives and what they're going through. God allows us to go through things in our lives so that we can tell others of his greatness, of his healing power. See, Jesus empowered his followers with the Holy Spirit to have courage and strength to persevere while telling the story of his scars. Verse 22 says, and with that he breathed on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. Satan always wants people to remain silent. Remain silent about their scars, because you see, he wants us to live in defeat and in shame. The devil always wants us, listen, we've gone through things in our life. He wants us to be ashamed of that. Even when it's decisions that we've made and they were the wrong decisions, the devil wants to hold us in shame for the rest of our life about it. And God wants to get the victory and the glory out of it, because he brought you through it. The scars we have in our life are for us to share with others. Maybe so they will not go there, or maybe they're already in the middle of a storm and they need you to be a guiding light to help them to safety, to help them to be in a place to find the things that God can do in their life. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Satan wants us to be in silence and defeat and shame. But when we glorify God in our scars, listen, Satan trembles and he leaves our presence. When we give God glory for what we have been through, and we give God glory for the healing, and we show these scars and tell the story behind them, Satan can't stand it. He leaves us. How do you live in deliverance? How do you live in deliverance? You live a life of forgiveness. Verse 23 says, if you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. See, when you live a life of forgiveness, others, their offenses are forgiven, and you live in freedom. However, if you do not forgive, you live under a cloud of oppression where the offender and the offense have power over you. Forgive so you can live. Jesus gave us a lesson on the value and purpose of scars. See, they tell a story of suffering. What happened to us? They tell a story of our demise or the damage, you know, what died in us, what changed when that tragedy happened or that situation or that person. But they also tell of deliverance, what God has done for us. Oh, see, the scars that we have in this life, the things that Satan wants to keep us quiet about, the things that he wants to hold us hostage to, are the very things that God wants to be glorified in. One of the things I love about Celebrate Recovery and the Landing, the ministries that we have here on Friday nights for students and for adults who are being real with what's happened in their lives, just being real, is that they're coming out of denial and allowing God to move them out of the way so God can do a healing in their life. That takes courage. That takes strength. That takes confidence that God would do the work. God would do the work. You see, we've all been wounded. We've all been wounded in some way, and some have healed and many have not. And some things just take a process of going through. And for many of us, we've buried things under the rug and we just kind of keep it out of sight. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. It's not there. Wrong. It's still there. And it's still affecting us. Listen, I invite you on Friday night at 6 o'clock. Maybe you're going through some things in your life that you know that God wants to do a healing work in that. And you've struggled with it for a long time, sometimes 30, 40 years. But you know God wants to set you free. You can talk to Sarah after church, get some information. She's our ministry leader over our Celebrate Recovery. Listen, it's wonderful what God has in store for you. Would you allow him to heal you? Take those wounds, make them scars. You do not have to live with wounds, but you can testify of the beautiful scars that God has given you. See, Lewis Meade said this, forgiving does not erase the bitter past. A healed memory is not a deleted memory. Instead, forgiving what we cannot forget creates a new way to remember. We change the memory of our past into a hope for our future. Oh, to see what God wants to do in our lives, to know that what we've been through, the tragedies, the situations, those scars that have been dealt to us in our life, we're not to allow them to overtake us. We're not to bury them like they don't exist. Oh, listen, can we be real with God and just real with a friend and say, listen, this is what happened. This is me, the real me. I've covered it over, and I know it's affected everything. There are a lot of angry Christians today, and they really can't identify what they're all mad about. Listen, God didn't save you through Jesus Christ to live angry, to live bitter, to live frustrated. I've seen some Christians who've been in church for years and years and years, and I'll tell you what, they're like a rattlesnake. You know why? Because they're hurting. Just be honest, they're hurting. They're not mean people, they're hurting. And they really need God to do a healing. Maybe that's you today. Listen, maybe you've been healed. And those scars are there and those scars are present. But you've been silent. And God wants to use those scars in your life to help someone else further along. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, I thank you today that you allow us to gather to worship you. God, when we talk about those scars, Lord, we know that there are so many things that we have been through. And none of us have the same exact story, God, but sometimes they're very similar. And Father, we've gotten so good at just bearing the truth and believing our own lies to tell everybody we're all right. We know we're not. And you know we're not. God, may your people just